In northeastern Syria, there are still refugees fleeing from the last pockets of ISIS-controlled areas in the country. Many say they held out for years, but had to leave their homes recently because of the U.S.-led offensive to defeat the militants. There's been little word on what life has been like amid the fighting in the desert region. NPR's Ruth Sherlock was in Syria and talked to the refugees. A warning, this story contains some disturbing descriptions of violence.
The Al-Hol refugee camp is overwhelmed with new arrivals. Hundreds of women, all dressed in black, wait for tents and blankets in a long line in the bitterly cold wind. Seeing us arrive, they crowd around and beg for help. These refugees have just fled towns where the US-led coalition fights ISIS. 15-year-old Ahmed tells us he and his family walked for days to get out. Like most of the people we speak to in this camp, he's been through such an ordeal that he's scared even to give his full name.
We couldn't leave by car. We escaped on foot.
ISIS charged $1,500 for cars to get through their checkpoints, money most couldn't afford. And in any case, people were afraid that their vehicles would be targeted by coalition planes.
We walked. We came with just the clothes on our backs. We slept in the desert in the rain.
He says the freezing winter temperatures claimed victims on the journey.
We escaped with other families, and on the way, a young girl and two men died on the road. They froze to death. Somebody in the group had shovels, so we buried their bodies.
In a concrete shelter in the middle of the camp, women cook on gas stoves on the floor. They held out living under ISIS for years. And 28-year-old Fatima Ahmed tells us it was the coalition airstrikes that ultimately forced them from their homes.
So many people have died who didn't deserve it. Even if you were just waiting in line outside for food, you could get hit. And there are no hospitals left for people to get treated. There's no medication because there was a siege. There's nothing left.
The subject of airstrikes is a controversy here. Shadi, a skinny man in his 20s, interrupts. He spent 2 years on the front lines as a member of the US's locally allied militia, the SDF. He says he believes the coalition airstrikes are precise. But he's interrupted by Abdullah Badri, who lost his 4-year-old daughter in a strike.
Precision? There's no precision. We were there while you were on this side of the front line. So many of the people being bombed are civilians. The bombing is random. I swear for every ISIS person you kill, you hit 20 civilians. I lived this in real time.
Both men forget our interview and argue with each other. President Trump has decided to pull US troops out of Syria. But for now, they remain fighting ISIS, a group that the US says threatens countries beyond these borders. I ask the refugees if they think this war is necessary. No, they exclaim, talking over one another. Fatima says, no one here really believes that ISIS is this great international threat.
The only thing ISIS got involved with is telling us how to dress. We should cover ourselves and keep our voices low. Other than that, everybody is living their own life.
Even Shadi, the man who fights ISIS alongside the US, says most of the people he knows who joined ISIS aren't terrorists. They're motivated by local reasons, like to fight other militias in the Syrian civil war. And he subscribes to the common conspiracy theory that the claim that ISIS is a global threat is a cover story.
This is for the media. There are things that are said on TV, and then there are things that happen under the table.
The real reason the US is in Syria, he thinks, is for the control of land and oil. US officials have repeatedly denied claims like these. In a statement to NPR, a spokesperson said the US mission in Syria is to achieve the enduring defeat of ISIS. And the US says it tries to avoid civilian deaths, but is fighting a ruthless enemy that hides among civilians. But Syrians in this camp don't believe that reasoning. And the man who lost his four-year-old girl, Abdullah Badri, says this matters because if locals don't support the war, it's just going to create more extremism.
Our children used to fear the word death. Now it's normal for children to see dead bodies. Now they stand over dead bodies, picking up the limbs with us. Young children picking up limbs. This drives people to extremism because this strips people of their fear.
And he says, someday the fear will be replaced by anger. Ruth Sherlock, NPR News, Northeast Syria.